My favorite like pastime is really just like just having like intimate moments with people. I just love connecting with people. So when, you know, I'm able to meet, you know, people with like well, when we meet each other with like vulnerability and just, you know, excitement and fun and like, you know, your energy is it like complements my own in a way. I love that.
Hello, welcome to Blackter. Join me as I examine the best of Black artists in my quest to becoming one myself. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Blackter. I'm your host, Gabe Moses, and today I am here with my friend, colleague, fellow artist, actor, and creator, Ikeshi McCoy. How's it going, Ike?
It's going great, Gabe. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, doing well. So, Ikeshi and I went to DeSales University together, and you just graduated virtually back in May, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about there.
Yeah.
And basically, this episode will be us kind of like going back and forth in conversation, kind of a Q&A kind of style. And I'll be asking Ike questions, and he'll be asking me questions, sort of like an actors-on-actors situation. So I'm excited to get into this. Now, I'll start with my first question, Ike. So I want to ask you about the events that took place in March of this year and how you dealt with your senior year being cut short and theater going into a very long hiatus. So do you want to speak to that?
So for me, as I feel with everyone, it was really, the time was really just a downer because of course, you know, we were getting our children's show ready and we were getting showcase ready. We were just looking forward to the time that we had with all our friends on campus. And it was just a hard time. But me, everything that happens in my life, I always say that it's for a reason. And I always say that it is ultimately for the best, even if I can't see it at that moment. So, I had faith that good was going to come from it. And then good things did come from it. With everything that's going on in the world right now, with all of the, with this new learning space, you know, that we're in, where people are truly confronting their privilege. And given this period of pause as well, I really had the time to reflect on how I've been showing up in my life, about all the areas, my relationships, my artistic life, my work ethic. And I've been really able to get specific on everything with this time that's been given. And so it's been a massive period of growth for me, as an artist and as a person. And so, yeah, I really took the moment kind of in stride almost. I'm just getting the most out of what I can with everything that's, you know, happening. Before the world like truly opens up again, then what can I do differently to show up and to be how I wish to, my ideal self, so to speak.
Yeah, that's great.
So if you weren't going to school for acting, what would you be going to school for and why?
Man. I feel like someone's asked me this before. And I did not have an answer for them because, you know, like, you know me, like, I've been doing this like since I was like 3 years old. So,
yeah,
I mean, there's nothing that was like a really big interest for me going into school. And I knew way back when that I did want to go to school for theater and get a degree in theater when I knew that was possible. So there's nothing else that was really on the table, you know, because I've just been doing this all my life, really, it feels like. But if I had to choose, maybe like English, you know,
really?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, just because, I mean, that is the closest thing that, you know, goes hand in hand with theater, you know, just like because what we do as actors, we take a text and we bring it to life.
Hmm.
And so it's like as an English major, you know, and just it's just like all about the text. So I feel like I would thrive in that with like all the work I've done as an actor. With like subtext and all of that. So, I mean, maybe there's a world where I would have been a writer or some kind of, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's the closest thing that I could think to majoring in college, because God knows what else I would do. Yeah, so yeah, I guess that's the closest thing, being an English major, or maybe like education as well, because that also goes hand in hand with being a director and what that leadership does in a space, you know.
Wow, I would have never thought about that, but I like the connection though.
I mean, it's something I've thought about, but you know, obviously it had not pursued.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, so I guess I'll ask you now. What have you been doing to continue to exercise your skills as an actor in this downtime?
So one thing I always say is that your growth as an artist is no different from your growth as a person. And so really what I've been doing, that it hasn't been intentionally like growing my skills as an actor, but like it indirectly has been growing my skills as an actor, if you know what I mean. Because I've, you know, family is everything to me. And,
yes,
you know, being home for this long, seeing just certain patterns exhibited from just me and my family overall, I've really gained more objectivity in just how I view people in general. And regardless of, you know, the flaws that they have, I've still been able to just remind myself of the positive and all of the good within everyone. And primarily like within my household and the context that we're speaking. Also, I've really just started like, I know this might sound like odd given like how I was on campus and everything, but I really began to express myself even more, and really use my voice and talk about, you know, what I need and what I want. And if I'm not, there's been times where like, if I haven't been feeling like 100%, I'm usually like emotionally closed off. And so I noticed that pattern. And so if I like feel even just a little bit closed off, I'll tell the people around me that this is happening. And then I'm still able to move in a lively place, because I'm not like keeping how I'm feeling pent up. So I'm not able to, so if I, like when I didn't speak up about how I was feeling, then it diverted more attention, it diverted more energy into trying to act as if everything was fine. So then letting that truth go, and then just allowing myself to just relax and just sit in whatever I'm feeling, and not having to basically posture myself to act another way, that left more energy for me to still behave with grace despite the way I was feeling. And also that, and just being like more connected to the people that I see every day, making sure I greet them every single day with renewed attention. Another pattern that I discovered about myself, and that I've like heard before, but I just never really took note of it before, is that one day I was talking with my mom, and I was like, I noticed that I wasn't as alert as I could be. And so when I noticed that, I was like, oh, wait, I was like, what's going on? I was like, we gotta perk up. What's happening? So just making sure I still like generate, you know, that energy every day and make sure that I'm alert. And of course, with the, you know, deeper self-expression and the generating energy and always being alert, you know, how of course that does translate like to your acting as well. Always being present in the scenes and making sure that you're not holding any unnecessary attention with the emotions that you might be feeling. So I do see, like with my work so far, I'm more easily able to live in the moment than I was before. And okay, something else I'm working on like right now, like we started it this week. So I was reading this book called Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty. And Jay Shetty spent three years being like a monk. And so he was talking about all he had learned in that environment. And of course, when you come back and you integrate all that work into like, you know, just our normalized style of living. And so one of the things he talked about is how the monk's definition of success is not what you achieve, but it's how deep you go, the depth to which you do something. And so one of my goals this week was to just simply immerse myself in each task that I'm doing with full attention, with full energy, and just being totally alert and paying attention to each sensation that I'm having. And so, you know, doing that this whole week, I felt such a shift in everything that I did. And I had, like, rehearsals this week, too, and I felt such a shift in those as well. And yesterday, because my family wasn't home, so I was the king of the house, so I just did everything. I was playing around with the Michael Chekhov method a little bit, and really just immersing myself, you know, in that and seeing what comes up with playing, which each of the individual elements in the system that he's created. And it's very spiritual, and it's a reflection of just universal principles and how the universe works. So I'm mastering that currently. And I saw, like, a lot of fruitful things yesterday. But yeah, that's really all that I'm doing, basically.
Yeah, and I remember a few months back we had talked, and you had said something that really stuck with me, and I'm probably not going to get it verbatim, but basically you were saying how, you know, you've been able to spend time with yourself and with your family and grow as a person, and maybe strengthen the flaws that you've mm-hmm. had in the past. And that has been a growth for you as an actor. You were able to kind of bring yourself more to your artistry with knowing that you were always being truthful and always being honest with yourself every right. day. So, yeah, that goes hand in hand.
Oh, okay. My question for you. What has this quarantine gifted you with?
Oof, well, that's a loaded question because it's mm-hmm. been a lot. obviously this podcast, since we're yep. talking on here, that's been one of the biggest things. But overall, I guess kind of what you were just hinting at was, you know, finding ways to express myself that were not solely just in theater, mm-hmm. you know, because out of all the years, especially the last few years, this has been the one year where I have not been acting as much, mm-hmm. you know, from, like, you know, March to August, you know, was when I wasn't really acting a lot. So I had a lot of time to myself and to just think about what kind of person, what kind of energy I wanted to be bringing to this world. And like we've talked about before, a lot of that had to do with all of the, you know, events that went on in April, May, June, that continued to go on with our people being killed for the color of their skin. So I just felt that I had to speak up in a way that was staying true to myself, but also finding more truth in myself mm-hmm. through that. So that's been a big thing that's been coming into my artistry as a podcaster and as a director, mostly this year. So I've been able to find my voice more through those things. So this quarantine has gifted me with more of a perspective of what kind of person mm-hmm. I want to be. And that has been a true gift because it's just made me mm-hmm. more positive and more confident about what I'm bringing to the world. Because over the years, like since I was a kid, I've struggled with, like, you know, being confident and being myself without thinking about what people will think of me. And it was probably like in high school when the switch went off, it was like, you really shouldn't care what people think about you. You should just do you and do it as best as you can, you know? And so I've just been able to keep that growing in the last few years. And this year has been a greater test to that. And it's definitely paid off.
Beautifully so, said. I can see that it's all paying off too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So my next question for you is, when was the moment you first knew you wanted to be an actor?
So weirdly enough. Okay. So when I was younger, maybe like 12 or like 13 or something, I was probably like half serious at the time. But I remember I was talking with my family and I was saying, I forget how we got on the topic. Like, I was talking about how, you know, the jobs that I wanted to have in the future when I was older. And I was like, you know, I don't want to work a normal job. I was like, I want to be like a singer or an actor or something. And, like, of course, like, I was primarily singing at the time. So I'm pretty sure the emphasis was more on singing, like, than acting. But Anyway, I was homeschooled from 7th grade up to my 11th grade year in high school, going into my 11th grade year in high school. And so I remember my mom had put me in the art and theater because being homeschooled, I was missing like the physical interaction with other kids. And she knows that I had dealt with bullying in the past, and just struggling with, you know, my self-esteem, my self-expression. And theater's natural remedy for those things. So she very rightly put me in the art and theater for the teen summer camp. And I was there for 4 years. And the third show that I did, because we did Into the Woods and then we did 13. And then we did our production of Les Mis. And they had honored me with the role of Jean Valjean in that show. And that was my first lead role in a show. And just the weight that the role had and everything that I had to do to prepare and how everyone was helping me to prepare. And I saw like all of my cast members, of course, like we came around everyone, but I saw them really come around me and give me, you know, aid to do justice with the part that I was given.
Yeah.
But at the end of each night, really seeing just how much I affected people and how much I was able to bring change into people's perspective and how I was able to make them cry and be in joy. That really, you know, spoke to me about the power, you know, that acting has. And it was like at that moment that I realized that I was actually able to, you know, do this for a living. And in hindsight, thinking about it now, also the fact that like this is where my natural like inclinations lie, like this is where my strength is, so why not play, you know, to those strengths? And yeah, so I think it was at that moment that I really decided like, yeah, I'll be an actor. I can do this thing.
yeah. I definitely feel that too, yeah.
So speaking on like roles, what role have you taken on that has impacted you the most, that has left the most impression on you?
Wow. Oof, I've never thought about that. You know, it's hard whenever you do a role, whether it's in a show or a scene for like a studio, like we do at the sales, you're attached to it in a way, especially if you do the work and you find something in it that really changes you as not just the character that you're playing, but as yourself, as a person, you know. So there's been a lot of roles over the years that I found myself, you know, wanting to just keep doing over and over again because I've gotten so much from it. But I don't know, there was something about this last play I did, Chains. There's something about that character, and like I've gotten this from so many people when they saw the show, and even in rehearsals, people were just like this is not you, you know? Like, I don't see Gabe, like that. Why are you saying these words? You don't sound like yourself, you know? And there's something about that when someone says like they don't see you or this character is so not you, but you made me believe it. That's probably the biggest compliment you can get as an actor, you know? So there was something about, and even from the very first rehearsal, I was telling Khalif that, you know, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this because these are words I wouldn't say. And I am not that black man who has forgotten his roots, you know. I am the complete opposite, especially with what I've been doing this year alone. You know, everyone knows that about me, that I'm just like, you know, trying to make changes the best way that I can as a 21 year old, you know. So thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell, especially with this podcast when you don't have like, you're not getting constant feedback. It's just not theater, you know. So that has been most difficult. Probably one of the most difficult roles I've played, had to play, just because of my views were not the same as his. But at the same time, I learned so much about myself through that character who was not like me. And how, you know, one of the things I love most about acting is when you learn something about yourself through a character that you would have never thought of going in, you know. Because at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And there's always something at the core of the conflict. There's always something, there's always a why this person behaves this way. And when you're portraying a character like that, you learn what the why is. And so there's a line at the end of that play in Chains where he says, I'm misunderstood. He goes, I'm not a bad guy, I'm just misunderstood. And that, you know, is just like what's at the core of why he behaves the way he does. He feels like he has to put on this costume, you know, to the world because of how he's been perceived and how the world perceives him as a black guy, because he just doesn't want to be, you know, just another black guy. He wants to be seen as more than that. So, right. So he pushes his roots and his blackness under the rug so he can be seen as more than that, right, you know, towards white America. So yeah, that was kind of my way in, to know that at the end of the play, he has this confession that he's been holding on to, that he doesn't want anyone to know because he's vulnerable about saying it, and he feels like he might lose himself in that. So having that, you know, that one thing that you can work off of that shapes the whole character will make that performance truthful and not a stereotype or as if you're playing something that you don't believe in, because, you know, like, you know, everyone says as actors, we can never judge our characters. We have to find their truth. We have to know why they are behaving the way they are. So if you can find that, and if you can just hold on to that one part of the play that you know is going to break your character and be that big shift in the change that they're experiencing, and you can find a way to mold that into your whole performance, that's when you know you have something. And that was what I found, was that, like, if I just use this one moment at the end of the play and retrace and justify all the things that he says to these three men, and all of the ways that he behaves outside, you know, in his own world, in his own life, and with his own family, that's how I'll be able to be as truthful as I can to do this character justice, because there is someone like that in the world. There are many people like that in the world, and it's my job as an actor, as a storyteller, to tell their story as honest as I can and not judge it, you know. So that's been one of the biggest challenges as an actor for me with that role, but also has been very rewarding. So, yeah, that was a great question. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. So I think I might have asked you this maybe last semester or last year, but I'm going to ask, do you have a preference? Do you find more satisfaction in musical theater performing or straight acting?
So, like, I've actually been thinking about this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I found like a month ago that, like, I was wondering as to why, you know, whenever I talk about, like, what I do and stuff like that, whenever I think about just my profession in general, I mainly think of, like, acting first and not singing as much. And I was wondering why that is. But the answer I had come up with was simply because I used to think that you necessarily couldn't be like world class and have universal like, say, acclaim in doing multiple things, like pushing the boundaries in multiple things, that it had to be basically one, like you only had like so much energy to expend, basically, which of course, like, is untrue, because there are so many people that are, you know, world class in multiple things, in multiple areas. So, but answering that question for myself, I found that there's no preference, really. I love both. Well, okay. Then maybe there is a little bit of a preference, because, like, I think I do enjoy, like, straight acting just a little more than musical theater. Just in, like, if I think about like the body of work that, like, say I want to leave, I want it to mostly be, like, filled. Well, not mostly, but, like, if it was filled more with, like, musical theater stuff, then, like, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I kind of be unfulfilled a little bit. Whereas, like, if it was straight acting and then you had, like, musical theater stuff here and there, then, like, oh, yeah, we can rock with that. We can rock with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to just answer that real quick, because it's been something I've been thinking about, too. And it's funny, because I'm, like, technically not a musical theater major. I'm just straight acting, that I've done, like, many musicals in my life. And there's just always been something, why I keep going back to it, is because there's just always been something about jumping to singing a song right now out of the blue. Has just been, like, another step in, like, emotion and stakes when you're looking at the full scope of theater, you know. And also having dance as a tool to tell a story, and how absurd it is and how weird it is for everyone to know the same choreography, you know, when this is supposed to be like, oh, we're doing this for the first time, you know. So it's just like that level of performance and entertainment has always been something that's just been enthralling to me. So it's just, it is a hard question to answer, because I also love doing straight plays and just going through a journey of the character without having that bigger than life kind of interruption that is music and song and dance, like, you know?
So I think, like, as you were talking, I was thinking the reason that, like, I think I prefer to do, like, straight acting than just, like, musical theater all the time, it's because, like, I feel, well, with musical theater, once things are set, they're pretty much set. There's not much deviation that you can have. But with, like, straight acting, there's still a ton of things to discover and try out within the things that were set. Mm. So I think I like that freedom, right, that freedom that you have with straight acting all the time.
Yeah, very true.
Okay, Mo, my question. We talked about growth before. So with you being back on campus and being, it's like social distance and everything, right? That, like, right now, what is the greatest challenge you are in the midst of overcoming right now?
So, I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone on this one, but it is acting and doing scenes with mask on. Just something I've never thought that I have to do. I'm sure no one has. So early on, when we first started the semester and we first started doing scene work and classes and whatnot, it was difficult because you're so used to seeing the whole face and being able to work off of an actor's mask, like their literal mask, and being able to come in close proximities with each other and being able to touch and be intimate and do, you know, the work justice as actors and artists. That was difficult to kind of step away from and put a wall in front of, knowing that, you know, with all of these safety precautions that we can't do that, you know. So that's been challenging. And as, you know, over the last couple of weeks, over the last, like, month and a half, really, I've been finding ways to deal with that. And I'm sure my fellow classmates and actors can say the same, that we are using body language to our advantage. We are using the eyes to our advantage. We're using the voice to our advantage. So those things that we kind of take for granted sometimes, we are finding them to be even more helpful with the way that things are right now. So the fact that it's definitely doable and how fun it will be to take off those masks once it's safe again, you know, and to be able to touch each other in a scene once it's safe again, then we will not be taking that stuff for granted because we know that we are able to do it without all of that. We are able to still create something special without, you know, the normalcy.
Mm, I like that. I really appreciate that answer.
Yeah.
Because when you do go back to that normalcy, you'll find that you have so much more faculties that you can use. But I think I should have reiterated my question. Mm. When I meant like the greatest challenger in the midst of overcoming, I meant personally. Like, not necessarily, like, artistically.
Sure. Yeah. So, still in the midst of social distancing and everything with being back on campus and all that, I don't know if there's, like, a really, something that's really major that I've been trying to overcome right now. Because in my first bonus episode, I kind of talked to how I've been able to reach a lot of the goals I've been wanting to over the years in the last few months because of all the things I've been able to do for myself and all the opportunities I've been able to create for myself. And just, you know, like I was saying earlier, just keep growing as a person and a performer through those. So I guess, I mean, I've never had a problem with this, like following my first mind, you know. Like they say, like always go with your first thought, always go with your gut. But I would say it's not being afraid to just throw myself into anything. Not even like doing necessarily having anything to do with theater. Just like not being afraid to take risks in life and to say things to people that you might be afraid to say. So I guess that has to do with just being 100% vulnerable at all times. And as humans, that's very hard because we always put up this shield, you know, with whoever we become in contact with, even if it's like your best friend, there's always like something that you're keeping from them, you know. Yeah. It can be the smallest thing too. Like if they know everything about you, but they don't know that day that, you know, you didn't like brush your teeth. So it's like very small things like that we as humans keep to ourselves because we don't want anyone to know that we didn't brush our teeth. So I guess it's just like in life, just being okay with saying the things that people, whether they don't know, they don't want to hear, or you don't think they want to hear, you know? So it's just always being able to say, no, I don't care about that. I'm just going to do it and say it. And it's better to have it out in the world than to keep it in, because keeping it in will just do more damage, you know? So, yeah, I guess that has been something I've been thinking about with all of the stuff that's been going on this year alone. But with also, you know, just my relationship with my friends and just trying to have the best experience with my senior year, with the way things are going, because, you know, 2 weeks into the semester, we didn't know how long we would be there. I mean, the first day, really, we didn't know how long we would be there, but it has been a true blessing to be able to be in person with each other again, despite all of the difficulties that has come with all that. So yeah. Do you want to speak to the first actor you saw or can remember seeing that you're like, I want to be like them. They are so good. I want to do the work that they do, and I want to do it as good as they do it, or even better. Like, who is that actor or performer that you saw, and you're like, wow, I have to immerse myself in that?
Yeah, because I think I really started seeing actors' work when I first like got to college, because like. Oh God, yes. Okay, I remember. I remember exactly when it was. Oh, yeah. I think it was her. Okay, yeah. Right. Okay, so that production of Les Mis I told you about. There was this girl who played Eponine, and her name was Maddie Larkin. And so I was 17 when I did. Yeah, I was 17 when I did Les Mis. And so, not even just her, like, acting, but, like, she comes in, you know, 14, 15, just, like, belting her face off. Like we were doing, like the review of all the songs that we that we did, and like the first time she sung On My Own, I remember because you know I have sensitive ears, so like I wasn't sitting like too far from her, but I wasn't sitting close, and then like. She got to like one part, and I was like, I had to cover my ears a little bit, but like I was also just in awe because I was like, my gosh, this girl is amazing, and just seeing like the vulnerability she brought to the role, and like she really like immersed herself in it, and I really got to see her grow. And something that was kind of something that's been like a tradition at the end of each teen summer camp. Is that we always do like a little cabaret where we just like, you know, sing whatever we want. And I believe she had sung You Are Your Daddy's Son from Ragtime. As soon as the piano started playing, I saw like the emotional shift, and her eyes started to water, and her face was turned to red, and I was just like, oh my god, I was like, what? Oh, jeez. Yeah, so I think that was, like, the first time I ever was really, you know, wowed by an actor or actress. What about you?
Oh, I knew you would ask me that. I should have thought about my own question, right? I really don't know. Because it's hard, because I don't know if it's what seeing an actor in person and live, you know, or if it's someone on TV or film who you were just like, wow, I have to do that. I mean, since you said someone in person, I'll try to think of someone who I saw in person as well. I will say, though, that there was an actor who I went to high school with who I was inspired by because... I saw that.
Oh, okay.
Do I want to name drop them? I don't know if I do.
All right.
I don't know who's listening to this. I'll keep it to myself. I mean, it's with context clues. I'm sure someone will figure out who I'm talking about. But I mean, he was in my class. He was in my grade. So there's more clues. And like from freshman year, he was just committed to his work. You know, he wasn't afraid to make choices. And I don't know if some people were like, oh, that's too much, or you need to hold back. But as a young actor, 14, 15 years old, you know, he was acting as if he had been doing it for his whole life, or like really like 20 years, you know. So in a way, he was like a seasoned actor, but he was 14, 15 years old. And so that inspired me to not be afraid as an actor to make choices. And that, like, you know, the sky is literally the limit. So, I mean, I've gotten to work with him before. I mean, just watching him in classes in high school was an honor because he was always committed to his work. And yeah, I really enjoyed being around him. Yeah.
So, all right. So, since we're talking about like just people that have inspired us as artists, I'm sure with like your classmate, you kind of did you view his. Like his artistry, did you look at it in a sense of like, wow, look at all that he's doing. How do I do that? Or like, I can get myself there in a sense?
Yeah. I don't think it was how do I do that? Because I think I knew how to do that. It was just being bold enough to not be afraid to do that, you know? Because I mean, as young actors, especially in the environment I was in, it felt like it didn't feel like there was like a lot of competition, but it felt like we were going to performing arts high school. So we had a level of professionalism that we had to reach at a certain point, you know? So the bar was always high and he just made it higher, you know? And so I just felt like, okay, as a freshman, if I'm going to be able to tackle this kind of stuff and be as good as I can be right now, then God knows how I'll be by my senior year. You know, when I'm applying to colleges and auditioning for the real world. So yeah, at a very young age, and I'm really glad that I was in that environment. I always had the privilege to go to a school like that.
I was gonna segue just into another question because, Like, I find, like, with me, for my, like, in my journey, like, as an actor, there have been people that I've seen mm-hmm. that I've just been like, wow, oh, they're so amazing. And I was like, and I was so inspired. Mm. But at the same time, it was also a bit of a trying to understand, like, how they got to the point that they got to. Just because, like, in my journey, like, I wasn't there. Yeah. And then, like, now I look at, like, I look at the actor's work, like, again, just in, like, new things that they may take on or anything of the sort. Mm. And then it's like, huh, yeah, I see what you're doing. I can do that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're all capable as artists to do whatever, you know? It's just whatever is holding us back as people, those are the things we have to look at to get to the places where we want to, you know? And, like, actors who have had the most success in the world, you know, film actors, right, theater actors, who we put on these high pedestals. And I said it's one of my first bonus episode, I was like, they are human beings just like us. They had to work to where they are. Some not as hard as others, maybe, but you know, at the end of the day, I mean, of course it comes down to talent, and you mean not everyone, you know, I'm talking about regular people now, not everyone can be an actor, not everyone can be a dancer, and blah blah blah, because it takes those skill sets too. But as artists, if we do already have those skill sets and that natural talent, then we are able to reach, you know, more than we think we can.
There's a book I read called Infinite Possibilities by Mike Dooley. And in it, he was talking, well, it's a book about, like, you know, infinite possibilities and how thoughts become things and how to manifest, you know, the life that you desire. And in it, he was talking about, you know, think of what you want to do. And he was like, think of the top people in that field that you are trying to go in. And he said, he was like, think about like the differences between you and those, like, those people that are in the top of your field. He was like, really, there's not really that much of a difference. He was like, the only difference is they had the belief in themselves and they humbly believed in their skills and their potential to be, you know, world class in what they do. You know, one thing that I wholeheartedly believe is that, like, regardless of who is, like, setting the bar right now, there are people, well, if we're talking about people that, like, are just in the public eye a lot, then you could say that there are people that, of course, aren't in the public eye, but yet in some ways sets the bar even higher than the person that we see, like, setting the bar currently. There's just always, you know, room for a new, like, plateau to be set by someone else. Or not even, maybe not even, like, I don't want to say that, because, like, not a competition, but, like, their own, like, unique plateau. You know what I mean?
Right.
In that sense. Okay.
We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the episode. Do you want to speak to what you're currently working on?
This past week, I've been working with this company called On Brand Productions, and they're doing basically a fall series. So I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that all of the plays were just written by this one Black woman. Her name is Isabel Lorraine, and her writing is very nice. But it's like, it's her, because she, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe, okay. It's her and her friends. They went to the same school or, like, knew each other in from, like, childhood, and so they basically, you know, took it upon themselves to, like, produce, like, their own work during this quarantine, which is a beautiful thing. And I played this deceased husband, Gabriel, and Widowed. And I also, we finished that recording. And then right now I'm in the midst of playing this guy, Marcel, who has Alzheimer's, which is actually very, very interesting role to take on. I've never played someone who had Alzheimer's before. So it's been new. it's been nice. It's been a little challenging.
Yeah.
But it's been really lovely. And so I am that is called Oblivescence. And I had the honor of working with Megan Lomax again on that, because one of their cast members, this just wasn't working out with this one cast member. And so they were looking for another one. And I was like, hey, I know somebody. I was like, she's amazing. And so I gave her, like, I talked to Megan and I gave them her information and all that. And we just did the first read through of the scene Friday. And she absolutely was amazing. Because, you know, that's Megan. And yeah, and other than that, still just going with like just the personal growth. And as I spoke to before, you know, playing around with like the Michael Chekhov method and mastering that, because that really deepened my artistry last semester. So I know that can take me, you know, to the highest of heights. And what are you working on? Oh, wait, about like your process for Broken/Chains. Like, were you all in like the same room and then acting off of each other? Like, what was the process like doing that?
No, so we were in the Buddha, all of us, and we were dispersed in different rooms. So two of us were in one of the dressing rooms. I was in the men's dressing room, and then someone was behind like the Schubert Theater, and Zion was like up in the loft. So they wanted each of us to have these, you know, cinder block backgrounds to look like we are in the same room in like different corners of the cell, you know, to get that kind of jail feeling. So yeah, that was fun to play with. I remember the first day we were all kind of put off in a good way, kind of, in a way that we should feel in a jail cell. So that definitely added another layer of honesty to our work. But yeah, I mean, the great thing about the editing, it looked like we were all in the same room. So that was fun to see how they put that together. But I mean, overall, I mean, out of all of the Zoom productions I've done with acting wise, that was probably, of course, my favorite one, because, you know, we were all constantly on and we were all constantly in it. Even like the way they put it together, they didn't show all of our faces at the same time, but in the Zoom rehearsal space that we performed in, we were always in character, you know, so we were constantly reacting and giving each other, you know, just giving each other stuff to work off of, you know, as actors do. And it was fun to play around with that in the camera, because I felt like that show worked over Zoom and online, just because of the nature of it and just the conversational aspect of it, and the fact that these men are stuck in this box together, you know, this cage, and they can't get out. Right. You know, that was fun to play with, and it definitely allowed me to find new ways to communicate through a character, you know, with my eyes and with my the way I said certain words. And yeah, just like little things like that were fun to play around with in that space and with those people. And that was definitely the first time I've ever done. Was it the first time I've done a 4-person play? I think it might be. I think it might be that I've acted in. Also a play with 3 other Black men, you know. So that was fun to be around people who knew me, you know, who knew what I was going through, who were in the same shoes as I was, and as Black students in a predominantly white institution. That was fun to just be able to be around them in, like, you know, those 4 to 5 weeks that we rehearsed. So yeah, it was a very, very great experience for me. Okay. Oh, I was also going to answer, because you asked me what else I'm working on. So I'm right now, this last Monday I started rehearsals for A Christmas Carol, and I'm assistant directing that. Yeah, so it's nice to be behind the table on this one in like a legit production, you know, because like the directing I've done have not been like legit productions, you know, in person, you know, big shows like this one is. So it's nice to sit and watch something unfold and kind of be like another voice for the director who's Dennis Razzi, who's directing this, and just like watch his process as a director and learn how that will affect my process as a director and seeing how he blocks, you know, a cast of, you know, 30, you know, socially distant to the best of the best social distance we can get with 30 people. So yeah, it's nice to be on the other side and not necessarily, you know, wear the acting hat this go around. So yeah. Okay, so I ask everyone, most of my guests on this podcast, I kind of ask them this, like, what are your ultimate goals? And to be more specific with that, like, what are the goals you are currently reaching for in your journey as an artist, as an actor? What do you want to accomplish in the coming months or years?
So in the coming months, I just really want to. I meant to tell you about this too. I can segue into answering my question from this. Okay, so a few weeks ago, I was in this recorded reading called Heaven, which is about a black man who takes in these two Swedish kids in the neighborhood, and after their mother had a drug overdose and she got into a coma, and so the writer, she was white, and you know, writing about, you know, the black experience, and I had auditioned, like, not knowing that before, and well, I had auditioned for a collection of plays, and those were like one of them. But she had emailed me because I had auditioned for a certain part.
Yeah.
But she wanted me specifically for the lead, Heavy. And after she sent me, you know, the scenes that were being read for the reading itself. And so I didn't have the full context. And so I, you know, I had emailed her and I had just asked her what was, you know, her, what inspired her, like, to write this piece. And what was like her intention going into it? What was the message that she wanted to leave behind? Just making sure she was coming from, you know, a place of awareness and that her intentions were in the right place. And that really exercised my artistic integrity, and really taking control of, like, my journey, you know, as an actor. And we had a very transparent conversation about the whole thing. And she was very forthcoming, and she sent me, like, her whole pilot episode that the scenes were being taken from, so I could get the full context. And she also sent me her pitch book as well, which told where her inspiration was coming from and how it was actually, like, a true story. I really, like, analyzed the script and seeing if, like, there weren't any negative stereotypes that I could possibly be perpetuating. And yeah, I also thought it was very interesting because that was coming right off the death of Chadwick Boseman, and everything that he did, and reflecting on his life and, you know, who he was as an artist and as a person, and seeing that there are similarities between us. One of them being the fervor to not perpetuate, you know, slavery or any negative stereotypes with our people. And so, segueing into the answering your question now, I really want to be a part of stories that matter and that have a positive effect on the world. And, you know, when we talked before about, you know, making sure that we see stories that of us that are about, or that showcase us in our stride and not in our struggle. So being a part of stories that showcase us in our stride. And if you know, being a part of a story that showcases us in our struggle, then making sure it's one with true depth and beauty that will leave all the viewers enlightened and with a new perspective on something that they might not have had that perspective on.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, really just showing everyone that, you know, showing everyone that we are limitless from all of the, you know, my journey has been in my mind and that I, you know, have, you know, manifested these things. And so with everyone, you know, witnessing, you know, my journey and how far, you know, I will be in time, that there's nothing, you know, more special about me than anyone else, and that everyone can accomplish their dreams as well. I'm just making sure that you, you know, focus that energy and put your thoughts and your emotions in a certain direction that you wish to see yourself go in, and putting yourself towards the end result, experiencing that end result, you know, over and over again in the areas in which you wish your life to change and to be like. And also showing that, like, that acting is an extension of our limitless nature as human beings, that, you know, that there are no boundaries, that there are no boundaries up keeping us from understanding one another, unless with the exception of the boundaries that we put up ourselves. And that the ability for us to, you know, change ourselves and embody a role, no matter what the role entails, that speaks to our ability to adapt and change and to bring things into manifestation. Because, you know, life is art and art is life. And so, yeah.
Great answer.
So, I guess more or less like the same question, like, where do you see yourself in a year, and then where do you see yourself, like, long term? Like, what are your end goals as well?
So yeah, so in a year, hopefully, this is weird because, you know, the state of the world right now, it's hard to say, but in a perfect world, I would hope that I am somewhere where I can establish myself as an actor. You know, that I'm working and I'm fulfilling my degree, you know, so that would be amazing in a year from now, and that I am, that I have grown immensely as a person and as an artist a year from now. I hope that would be the case. I mean, I believe I'm on the right track to that being the case. So, yeah, and then long term, I guess, would be that I am still happy doing what I love to do. You know, that I will never be stuck, or that I will never second guess my true passion. You know, that I will always find the good in it. You know, of the why that I kind of talked about earlier, not just for a character, but the why that I do what I do. You know, that will still be good and not in a negative nature, because there are a lot of people who graduate from institutions who think that they will devote the rest of their life to theater or acting in general or the arts in general, and find themselves stuck in whatever that is, whether it's that they feel like they're not happy with the work that they're putting forth, they're not happy with the work that or the feedback that they're getting back, or that they feel like they've just been, they're not able to grow anymore. And so I always want to be able to grow. And that's probably one of my biggest fears is finding myself stuck in the same thing, you know, over and over again. I don't want that to be the case. I want to be an actor who's always able to learn with every role that I step in, with every show, with every audience that I'm able to speak to. I just never want to be stagnant and static, you know? So yeah, it's a goal. It's a goal to be able to be happy in what I've been doing for my whole life, you know?